maybe not. Okay, so now we go to me and my concerns. I got an email from BuzzCoast, and see, what I did is I sent out the Melting Titanium 52 to my helpers, volunteers, Evan, James, BuzzCoast, Monsquaz, that's his email name, and there might have been a fifth person. And oh yeah, no, those four. And then I sold it to Brian and Steve. And I thought, and then James came back with, hey, all that stuff about you and your headache and blah, 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 wait, you know, some scientist is not going to listen to that. It's going to throw them off. So can you make an edited thing with just the essence, the actual cold fusion talk that Ion did, getting, you know, editing out all the Worcester and all that other stuff that is our universe. And so I did that, and I sent an edited version. You know, the whole version is 2 hours and 5 minutes approximately. My edited version is only 31 minutes. So I sent that to James, Buzz, Monsquaz, Brian, and Steve, and Evan. So, okay, here's the short version if you want someone just to hear the statement about cold fusion. So Buzz wrote back. He transcribed a section of it. And I want to read you what he wrote. It's useful because we now have, we can read it. And assuming this is accurate, that he transcribed it. Now, you know, Buzz always, okay, first of all, where the heck is 121 Depot Street? Buzz and them can't find it on the Google.
Bob, it's only the largest gold repository in the world.
Is it in Brooklyn or Manhattan?
Manhattan.
Is it down near Wall Street?
It's connected, yes.
Is it like a very tiny address that's not going to show up?
It's not posted anywhere, Bob.
Oh, okay. We always give it a street that Buzz can't find.
That's not that interesting.
No, and I understand that, so I can tell him it's not there. But can we actually, on cash flow, say where it is, or that's not cool?
Not necessary. We've told them the address and they can't find it. Bob, we could get a map and show them where the repository is and they still won't believe it. I mean, you could
hand them
the code to get in the door.
Yeah, no, you couldn't do that. Buzz would try it. But the point is, it's in Manhattan near Wall Street. That's a general area. That's accurate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can tell him that. And then he can go and get closer maps.
Whatever. Just say good luck. Okay.
And Depot is spelled D-E-P-O-T, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was that old issue. And then, and I can't ask you where it is on cash flow, and it's up to you what you'll say, right?
Right.
Or would you prefer me not to ask that?
We don't care.
Okay.
We're going to tell you. We've already told you. And if you didn't hear us the first time, we're certainly not going to repeat the gossip again.
And we didn't get back to the wall. I got to get to remember that. We got to do the wall theme.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what Buzz wrote back after transcribing parts of the 31-minute edited version where it's just Ion explaining the laboratory work with cold fusion. He goes, in my Looniverse, the explanation below by Ion starts at 107 on the cold fussin' download. And I guess that would be within the 31 minutes. Interestingly, in my Looniverse, the thing came out all Irwin Corey-esque. I don't know who Irwin Corey is. Irwin Corey, that would maybe... Oh, that's Professor Irwin Corey, the comedian. Okay, right. The thing... So it came out quite garble. He says, a verbatim transcript recorded in my Looniverse below. And here's where it is, sort of. He says, here's the beginning of what Ion said as he's transcribed it. Here's the rest of the story. Okay, you divide water, take water down to the basic molecular structure, gauging the atomic weight of every strata, that is water. That means that frequency within the polarity of the atomic weight of hydrogen. Two parts hydrogen and that's just you pausing. Two parts hydrogen and oxygen, H2O. You take that combination, which is water, and you take the basal strata of the bines or the beans. He spells it B-I-N-E-S. Is that what you were saying, the basal strata of the bines? Or were you spelling that B-I-N-D-S? What does the word bines refer?
Bines Bind, B-I-N-D-S.
B-I-N-D-S. Right.
Bind.
I don't know where he came up with beans, binds. And you take the basal strata of the binds of those atomic weights, and that becomes...
Basal is basal.
Yeah, that should be A-L, not E-L. B-A-S-A-L. And you take the basal strata...
Now people will be taking basil, the herb, and they'll be stirring it into water and... See, okay.
Okay, no, that's we know that. And you take the basal strata of the binds of those atomic weights, and that becomes the fulcrum, the line that grows through, the line that goes through at 45 degrees. You see, you've got to have a line going from the point of the perpendicular to the horizontal going straight out at 45 degrees. That's how you gauge at this level. You won't have... Well, let me see. At one level, you'll never have a cotangent if you don't have a tangent. So that becomes the tangent. I don't know. You'll never have a tangent if you don't have a tangent, so that becomes a tangent below a certain level of that line. You won't have event above it, and you overshoot event. You have to be within the confines of that 45-degree angle. Then he has me. Bob goes, got it. Now then, continue with Ion. Now then, what you find... through when you add within your formulary of what a fingernail is, the mathematical equation to a fingernail, then you apply it to the abjectly diverted molecular weight of the separated water molecule, because when you take water and separate it back, the weights change, because you have the H2 you've got to deal with. And that bound bond, and he has a question mark, I don't know if you say question mark, I think he just doesn't know what it means. And that bound bond, is that what you said, do you think? Bound bond?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have the H2 you got to deal with, and that bound
bond. You make a new bond that's bound.
Gotcha. Then you go, now hydrogen. What did Granny say? Don't F with hydrogen. You see? All right, so now that's the line going across. So when you hit it perfect, the energy output as you go up, the megahertz frequency, if you cross it where it intersects the tangent of that 45-degree line, that's how many molecules will be absorbed as you go up each megahertz frequency of the sine wave. Then he has Bob goes, got it, rather faintly. Then that's the end of his transcription. Now, there's a lot more, you said. You go into the vacuum thing, you need, you know, there's a lot more, right? Agreed. So he did, this part was enough for him, so he goes, wow, it was so simple, I don't know how we missed it. Now, he's being satirical here. He says, ions malaprops, or malapropisms, have a very Humpty Dumpty-esque feel. So he quotes, I guess, Lewis Carroll, whoever wrote Humpty Dumpty. Quote, "'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabi. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe." So then he goes, then I think he quotes Ion and says, "Gauging the atomic weight of every strata that is water." Okay, we already did that, so he stuck that back in. "Gauging the atomic weight of every strata that is water, that means the frequency within the polarity of the atomic weight of hydrogen." He then takes another quote from Jabberwocky. Quote, "Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch." So that's, he ends with that, so he's saying, basically it sounds like Jabberwocky to him. And he goes, thanks for the chuckle of listening to this. Then he has a quote, "Somehow it seems to fill my head with ideas, only I don't exactly know what they are." Now,
Ion's given the answer to the question, and I didn't know what the question was.
Right. And so I'm going through this, because this is an interesting response. Now, Ion, this is an uninformed person. You know, they don't even know the lab stuff. But it is hard for them to understand. As a matter of fact, I talked to James, asked him what he thought, and we got into the fingernail. He said, oh, I thought that was a joke about the fingernail. See, they're not even getting it. So I'm assuming that the scientists, it won't be so garbled for people in the field.
Okay.
Would you agree with that, or it's going to be garbled?
Well, you're giving it to the most disconnected ones on the planet, Bob.
No, I understand it's that. Good. No, I understand it. So
we can't imagine they would.
That's right. And connected people... or scientists or whatever, they'll find it clear.
Well, they'll find that the ability, capacity of doing those different projects have an outcome. And then that outcome laid out in a formulary has E equals MC squared qualitative condition. Well, when there's that condition, then they start going, well, that's interesting. So if we raise this a bit and that a bit, then it makes a line. Then we have a bell curve. The bell curve then gives us a degree. For each megahertz that we go up in frequency, that's how many gigawatts of electricity would be produced.
Right, got that. Now,
in this form. What, so it's just so you don't overload yourself.
Is a bell curved and a curved line?
Yeah.
It's always curved because you go along the horizontal, find a point, let's call it 8, from the center intersection between the horizontal and perpendicular. So you go along the horizontal at 8, and then you go up, say, 5 on the vertical, and then you go across, and they meet at some point, right? You go up and across, and they intersect. That's what I remember doing. That intersection point is a point, and then you create a whole bunch of these points, and that's what the bell curve is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. All right, now, is there more about the cold fusion you would like to discuss, or is that enough, what we've sent out?
That's enough this second.
Okay, because I was wondering if I read this to you, what Buzz wrote, would that evoke, make Ion clarify it? But you see, they don't even know what it is, so we don't try to clarify it.
You can't answer questions that hadn't been asked.
Right, all right.
You notice in all this, they didn't have a question, so
yeah,
there's nothing to answer yet.
That's right. That's the irony of the information and the electrified information environment. So much information is going out to people that didn't ask the question, didn't have the context.
They had a syntaxed way of having an expression regarding it, but didn't say, how do I make it work for me? Or how does this work? Or what does it look like? Or what kind of containment field would I have to create? How do I ground this apparatus? How do I set this into motion to start it off? How do I capture through the double helix coil so that it doesn't overrun my breaker system of my normal AC current house? How do I, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. That if they'd asked those questions, it would have certainly been much clearer.
And we could, if we'd known, we could have asked those questions.
But instead you get a bit of transcript that's ibbity-bibbity-squibbity-bob.
but I was talking with the general electronic age. When they brought in radio, all of a sudden people all over the world were hearing news reports and information things that was not...
Before they got the radio, they weren't.
You're right, but once they got the radio, people were getting information before they asked the question. It just was pouring out 24/7 and news broadcasts and all that. That created a pretty surrealistic, weird fragmentation in the human community, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and I guess that's what James Joyce was making fun of.
Mm-hmm.
So then on our level, we put out this. We're offering it to people, many who don't have the question but are curious. They're going to, quote, hallucinate on this because they don't know what the question is.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
And if you went on the radio saying for $99.95, you start sounding like the fella who's trying to sell dish towels or something.
Yeah.
They're hawking it.
Right.
But if they're interested, they're interested. And if they're not, then they're not. But if they have to contact you to do it, then you've not exposed yourself to those. See there, everybody, I told you this non-physical son of a living bitch was just trying to get my money check. Well, they weren't interested anyway.
That's right. Okay, got that. So, Todd listened. Once I found out the news about the Polish government, this guy's dying in a plane crash, so we're
talking about Lech Krasinski.
Yeah. You see, I talked to the client after the reading, and they were puzzled by why that information was thrown in the middle of the reading. So I came up with my theory based on many hours with Ion. I said, I find that Ion likes to get it on record on a particular day that in future time we go back and say, wow, on that day when this news story happened, Ion was on top of it and said this about it. And so I said, sometimes Ion will say things in the middle of a client's reading that on the surface has nothing to do with the client, but Ion wants to get it on the record. Okay, I don't know if that's a factor, but that was my...
No, it has everything to do with her 8-day journey that she's fixing to compound.
I know, but we didn't know that at the time, right? Well, actually...
The Slants of Smolensk, yeah.
I know. The thing is that I was just... Since I wasn't sure about that, I wasn't going to say that. I suspected that was what was going to happen.
Certainly.
So I just made this general... So actually, what I said is not true. Ion said stuff in readings, or to us, because it relates to us. But no, there isn't.
And then they go back, and then they go back, and they listen to it, and they go, Bob, Ion snuck things in the recording.
Right.
It told me I was going to Minsk, and this all was happening, and all of Poland's government's going, and I'm going to have to be the reorganization team that takes the diplomatic status, and it's going to happen in 8 days. Jesus fucking God, they told me everything. How did he get that on my tape?
Okay, good. So
that's what it's all about.
Right, see, but it was odd with this client because we knew it could relate to her once I found out.
Well, we told you it was going to be a wallbaster reading before it ever happened.
That's right.
Don't mind us.
You knew that the crash was coming. You could see it already happened.
Well, you think.
Right, okay. So the thing is that... So I came up
but
with
now let's follow that up with ibbity bibbity squibbity lib, nobbity lobbity bobbity bob, obbity coobity doobity doo, ibbity snippity gibbity bob, shebang, shebang, thrill thrill,
bing,
bing, yeah, bing. Just to keep this old Buzz will have something to do. We love you, Buzz.
Okay, so anyways, I came up with this theory.
The coasting.
Yes, I came up with this theory. That, you know, just for Carol's sake, I mean for the other person, the client, and that means redacting immediately, but I came up with this, and then, okay, so I had said this, that, you know, maybe Ion is talking, it's something he wants to register. So then after I talk to the client, I go to the news and see, wow, this is all Marie Zabrinsky is gone. And so I call the client back.
Zabrinsky.
Yeah, I call the client back and say, go to, because I found it, go to 49-minute mark and listen to this. So I'm listening, so we listen to it together, she finds it, because I had gone and checked it out and found the points, and then I tell her, so she's looking, listening, and now it's a whole new thing for her, because...
Exactly!
Yeah, and what I heard, even, this is interesting, as I was hearing it over the phone as she was playing it for me, and for herself, I heard Ion say something like, we asked, who's Marie, and you say, she's married to the goober, to the president of Poland, this goober president, okay, and who is the president, married to this goober who's the president of Poland. Then there's a pause, and then Ion goes, or was, was. Okay, so we go along, listening, and when it stops, I said, did you hear the or was? And she said, no, I didn't hear that. So I'm telling her, so I'm going to tell her to listen for that part. Now, okay, again, because Ion did say it. So Ion, right on the record, knew it had happened, even though it was 12 hours later. It was about 12 hours later when we were having the reading with the client after the crash.
Well, if you look at the time change, it might not have been that far off.
No, I worked it out. It's in Moscow.
Well, we feel better. You worked out time, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're good at it. You don't know what time is, but I can work with it. That's my field.
That'll be at 4 o'clock, Bob. We'll start at 4 o'clock your time. You know, that turns into 3, and it's like, oh, okay. And we don't care because it doesn't make any difference.
Right, but here's what I worked out.
You're not the poster child for figuring out time.
I don't know, but look, I've had some experience with it, with the illusion.
Oh, well then, okay.
Listen to this. I checked it. I said, Moscow, 10:56 a.m., that's about 11 in the morning. And then I said, okay, and Paris is 2 hours behind that. So it would be 9 in the morning, Paris. And we had our session at 9 at night. So that's 12 hours later.
Okay.
So that's how I worked it out. Okay, so so I wrote to Kara, the person, well, it doesn't matter now. And, I wrote to the client and said, big news, email me when I can call you after you get up. That would be today, Sunday. And the person writes back, looks like I'll be in Warsaw in 7 to 10. Oh, preamble. Yesterday when we were listening to tape, the client got a call and it was work-related, so she had to go, right? So the next day, The client's telling me, looks like I'll be in Warsaw in 7 to 10 days. Funny that. Or, isn't that funny? Or, funny that. That's the way they write funny. So there it is. It's right there. Now, is there... And then I guess there's nothing. I just want to point out the interesting synchronicity. And then there's a new email from the client. I wrote back about I tried to get to bed early. And let's just see. All right, so this is relevant. The client says her friend was able to shed some light on things for me. And she goes, yikes. Yikes is all I can think at the moment. But I'm adjusting to the notions put forth. So I don't know if that's a personal psychology health issues or not, but she is realizing...
It just dawned on her that she had her reading on Saturday, and that started day one, and that by the eighth day it was all going to be made clear to her, and now she finds out that, or before, and now she finds out that it's going to be a huge major change instantly that's affecting her vacation, affecting all kinds of things, that she's going to Minsk.
Yeah, the
And that's what we couldn't just say, but we did.
That's right, yeah. So her yikes is she's realizing how real yesterday was.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know who this motherfucker is, but somebody may get pregnant.
And then, so that's all fun and glad.
Well, it's enlightening for her to come into her power. That was the point.
Yeah.
Because it's not to show how wonderful we are. We already know how wonderful we are.
Right.
It's the point of having their power come into play that her non-physical thought enough of her to cram it down her throat so when it showed up, it wouldn't be a surprise. Which we also reminded her that she was already connected.
That's right.
Well, I don't know about that. And we're like, well, then how is this always coming out this way? How is it that you can run these threads in this direction? How is it that you're able to calculate seamlessly these things that others spend years trying to figure out? And you do it in 30 minutes.
Right. Where did she get that ability?
When she was 13 years old with this disconnection or the connection with the barometer.
Oh, yeah.
Gauging barometric influences, not pressure, influences.
That was with the skin, and then that went into her mind and got her in her job thinking that way.
Yep. Everything is precalculated. Nothing she does isn't precalculated based on the barometer.
And then she got it into a job which adjusted the response to the barometer of tensions. Social tensions or political tensions, right?
Looking for the bad guys, figuring out their IP addresses.
And that is what she does, figuring out what her immune system is. Her immune system.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I was trying to say that to her yesterday, that it was a great metaphor of her job, her role. It mirrors exactly, parallels exactly what she does with her body.
Exactly.
Right. So, that's what I used to find when I would do my radio show in Toronto, and I would listen to the tape later before I did the next show, and I was always amazed at what I said. I had no clue that it was that, quote, good. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you're involved.
Right.
So I understand how you're involved. That's why when I was go to McLuhan's free seminar, and open to the public, I would never ask a question, because you get into the state of mind, you're trying to figure out what question you want, how to make it sound good, and all that distracting thing, and you miss what's being said.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I understand that. And that was a wise policy on my part, not to try to perform, just observe the interaction between people with McLuhan, right? Serve me well.
Yep.
Okay.
So they were trying to figure out what a meme was, let alone what their question was, and you listen to them and you go, why are you asking questions? You know, go back to the same asylum.
Right, but I wouldn't say, I'll ask a better question. I just let it stay on the level it stayed at so I wouldn't be distracted.
Sure.
So I understand how people in their readings get so involved they don't even know what's happening. Okay, so she will listen to this, and her roommate is helping. They're processing this, so she'll probably listen to it again, right? He mentioned the Minsk. Where's that? Minsk. There it is. Here's what we're not going to go in too much into what he says, but at least he gives us some words to work with. It is most unlikely that the fatal crash shortly before 11 a.m. on 10th of April of a Polish government Tupolev Tu-154 aircraft near the Smolensk Zovernia Military Airport. That's the point. That's the Smolensk you're referring to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's unlikely it was an accident. It looked just like an accident, given that the plane sliced treetops on its fourth attempt to land in heavy fog, disintegrating about 1 mile from the airport. There had been suggestions that the plane should divert to Minsk. There were no survivors. Then it goes into the 60-year-old president, Lech Kaczynski, was leading a delegation of highest-level Polish officials to attend memorial ceremonies at Katyn, the site of the massacre of 22,000 Poles by Soviet terrorist operatives 70 years ago. As a consequence of that massacre in 1940, all possible sources of subsequent resistance to Soviet control in Poland were liquidated in one operation. Now, here's his conspiracy angle. The casualty list of those who perished in the Tupolev Tu-154 crash on Saturday implies that Polish sources of problems considered to be intractable by Putin of GRU and Gorbachev of the KGB FSB covert party from his administration wing. I'm going to read that. It implies that the Polish sources of problems considered to be intractable from his administrative wing inside the Kremlin complex, that means Putin, have likewise been liquidated in what can be considered to be the second Katyn massacre. So he's suspicious of the Russians, not saying it's real, just registering words we can work with. And then he says, moreover, the timing of this planned accident is highly suspicious. For starters, the 25-year-old aircraft had undergone a complete overhaul at a factory in southern Russia late last year, being delivered to the Polish authorities in December 2009. This makes a planned malfunction likely, especially given that the Katyn massacre ceremony, to be held 70 years after the atrocity, was of course known in advance. Issues contemporaneous with this catastrophe include, most conspicuously, the peak level of intergovernmental tension surrounding the disposition and settlement of diverted and stolen funds, that's all his area, the Nassara stuff, given not least that Poland was exploited during the Bush II administration when the U.S. ambassador to Poland was a known George W. Bush crony, and Polish were flooded. This is the peak level of intergovernmental tensions was exploited during the Bush era, and Polish institutions were flooded with the proceeds of illicit off-balance street trades leveraged off diverted and stolen funds. So he's always bringing it back, whatever happens, to what he's concerned about, the stolen trillions or whatever. Then he says, another factor, the projected use of the Polish Army's Huska-Wyko base as a possible site for U.S. missile interceptors. Russia objected strongly and suspended participation in the Treaty on Conventional Armed Forces in Europe. And also the third factor, contracts for Western aircraft. Now, is there any of those things that he said, is it a factor in what happened in fact?
Factor in fact.
Those things I mentioned, he's saying that Russia was concerned. So the question would be, did Russia plan this crash? Did somebody in the Kremlin or Putin, did they plan this?
Too salacious, Bob, and too open-ended, and so...
Okay, so explain to me why... Are we concerned about people listening to us right now?
No, we're not. No. It's just it's your point of asking. That's like saying, is Russia a more powerful creator than the administration of Poland?
Oh, okay.
So the answer to that question is no. Okay. Did Russia have anything to do with this old airplane that was carrying all the best of all the Russia of Poland that was, and that become a definitive issue or problem with Russia, who's fallen apart already anyway? Hell, Russia's in a worse shape than Poland is.
Yeah, they don't have a sense of authority or control or
espionage. They don't have a working government, Bob.
Right, so that they wouldn't be worrying themselves about what Poland's position on Western aircraft.
Yeah, unless they figure Poland's going to come invade them, and it certainly could.
It could, yeah. Now, but they aren't. But well, is that okay? Well, if they were worried about invasion, they wouldn't. Well, no, they would. They'd blow up. So were they, was Russia worried about invasion from Poland?
Well, they would have a much more concern to that degree. I mean, Russia's for sale for a penny.
Right.
You could buy the whole damn country.
But
you'd have to feed the bastards, but they're available.
Right, that's the point. It's for sale, but nobody wants it.
Right.
Oh, okay, so the so from what I'm getting is that the factors that Chris Story brings in here do not apply.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, what is it about, go back to what Ion said, there was something about the banker, the national bank guy. Was he on the plane? Let's find out. Beg your pardon?
No.
Okay, I'm going to look at the list of dead people and that Chris has here to see if he is listed.
There is a banker, but there's not the banker.
And are the news reports, see, I saw a news story that showed a picture of the, sort of like the federal, the Bernanke of Poland. That person that I saw a picture, they were implying they, he was dead. Do you agree that the reports have gone out that he's dead?
Yes, that picture of that person, but that's not who is actually running the fiduciary constraints of Poland.
And the guy who we see in the picture, was he on the plane?
Yes.
Yeah, so he died, but he was a Lee Harvey Oswald for the person really running it.
Thank you. Very good. That's a great analogy, Bob.
Right.
Congratulations.
All right. So it involves a lot of other things, maybe.
It does.
Okay. Now, here's how I go at that. I say, does it involve the crisis with Greece and their banking structure? In other words, it deals with the economic crisis with the euro.
We said that, yes.
Yeah. So why would Poland, what is the, okay, so this person, the real banker.
North Korea is involved.
Right, so it's a game that international network, well, there are many international networks, but there's this one particular network that's got a headache and they got problems. Why was Poland, so Poland played a key liaison role in this network? Or I mean the government, those guys.
Yeah. To the dump.
Okay, I think what you mean is...
The guy...
I don't remember. I know that song. I don't know what the words are. Okay, come on, calm down. You're fine.
It's the William Tell Overture.
Which, and you know, I don't know how
okay,
to...
Okay, now, and to the dump. What's significant in Poland that would rhyme or sound like the word dump?
The hump, the lump, the grump. Now, it's not immediate to me. I don't know that much about Poland, so...
Okay, where do you take your trash?
Is it a major garbage pollution disposal place?
No, Bob.
You take your trash to the dump. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
No, dump. We were being cheeky saying it rhymes with... That's like saying, bitch. Let's see now what word rhymes with bitch.
Rich.
Bitch. Yeah, we were talking about bitch. Dump is what we were talking about. The point of dump is the nuclear and the rods from enriched radioactive material is being dumped in Poland.
That's what I was getting at when I said there's some kind of pollution control attempt there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're a dumping place.
Mm-hmm.
And now
we say dump. That just means being held there because things go in and out of there that no one knows ever was there or that left there.
And we're not talking about Pella World stuff. We're talking about in this world.
Well, now...
Does this overlap with the Prussian oligarchy from the 19th century? In the sense that there is...
Plantagenistically speaking, yes.
Did you say Plantagenistically?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, in other words, there is this historical nexus,
nexus, we like that word. Can't be further than what it is, but we like that word. Let's say codex.
Oh.
As opposed to nexus.
Okay, gotcha. So the In other words, in the issues we have discussed, well, let's call what we've discussed the past year the secret history of wealth, something like secret artifacts of influence, right? Can we agree that's, without going through all the artifacts, there are the secret artifacts of influence, which do involve parallel world operations. There is a depot there in that region.
Okay.
Just like there is in Jordan, correct?
Oh, Syria, okay.
Yeah. Oh, is it Syria? Yeah, Syria. Just like there is in Kuala Lumpur.
Okay.
That, let's call that, so we don't have to keep saying, call it the secret network of valuable artifacts. Or no, influential artifacts.
Influential, yes, good.
Right.
I mean, hell, Bob, if you know about it, it ain't too damn secret.
No, I'm the only one who knows, because I ain't talking to too many other people about it. But those that are involved in it know about it.
Okay.
But, you know, in my circle, I'm the only one who knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyways...
Well, but that would include Jane.
Yeah. all the three,
every other motherfucker that ever walked in your world one time or another.
Yes.
And if they've ever posted on your blog or have ever listened to, or their IP on their computer said they've been to alternate Slack,
yeah,
they're
right.
The only ones that would have access to your knowing and knowledge. Yes, we got that.
Yeah. So of those, they just don't... I try to help a little, but they just don't even take it seriously. So.
Well, because it's not your job, and that's why.
Right. Okay, so there's always, so there's, is this...
Good luck with that.
Good luck with those guys, you mean?
No, with that position of anonymity.
Good luck with them not getting it, right. Well, you mean me? Good luck with me trying to be anonymous?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so the thing is that... Our client...
I ain't going to say nothing. Don't worry about me, Ion. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm good. You know, if I can't say nothing, I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't going to tell his name and soul, except for Bud and James.
Yeah. It's my network. My team. I must keep my team.
And if that doesn't work, then I'll run it by Steve and then I'm sure I'll go to George. I know. I'll run it all by George. See what he thinks about it, and let him know just how pure my semen flows. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, do we know of any country in the last 100 years that had the whole cabinet and president, and military guys wiped out?
Never.
Yeah. This is the biggest collapse, blowing up of a government ever. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in 20th century terms, 21st century. Okay, so that I understood how Minsk represented the old Bolshevik network in the Soviet Union, and their old...
Now there is no old Bolshevik. They got shed of all that.
Yeah, but
it was the new Bolshevik issue that made them kiss their ass goodbye.
Made who kiss whose ass goodbye?
Who's gone?
On the plane? Okay, let's start over again. Minsk.
Yes, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no, but...
It wasn't the old Bolshevik regime that did this. It was the new Bolshevik regime that wiped out this dynamic that's an issue, not because they were significant. Nobody knew who the hell Krasinski was.
I agree.
Ask anybody. Hell, Katie Kirk didn't even know who the son of a bitch was. So now we're all mourning his death. Nobody knew who he was. Not to mention his damn cabinet, and now the next thing you know, everybody's got to go over to this big hoodoo funeral in this world where it certainly ain't safe to drink the Kool-Aid, and now that's supposed to be then the new burying of the oligarchy.
Okay, hold it. So
okay. Didn't mean to be cheeky.
No, that's good. So, I just want to tell you what I meant is that talking to the client... The client told me how it's pretty violent there, pretty anti-American, embassy guys kicked out. And I said, so they're like the old school holdouts from the old Soviet Empire. And she said, yes. Now, I understand, you know, I don't know, but I just said that. She's yes. But you're saying no. Minsk is a PowerPoint for a new grouping in Russia. even though it's Minsk, I think, is in Byelorussia. It's a new node of power, and they can be tough with the Americans because of, right? Something, you know what I mean?
They don't even acknowledge the Americans.
Right. Okay. So that group,
America's checks ain't no good, so why they gotta be nice to them?
Yeah.
You know, it's like
our client. I brought up that Treasury had no money. I don't think our client believes that. It's not up on that stuff. I mean, I don't think. But the so you're implying there was an external group bombed the Polish people. You implied that right there. The Minsk group blew up the Polish plane. Is that what you're saying?
No, the Minsk group watched it break up before it hit the ground.
But that would be just people on the street, witnesses, correct?
There were no streets in that part of...
Okay, so military people witnessed it.
Well, there were people in houses around there, and what every single one of them have said that hasn't been on your Looky Box news is that it was flying in low, and we noticed that parts of the plane started hitting the tops of the trees, but the parts that were hitting the trees weren't attached to the plane. And before it hit the ground, the midsection ripped half in two. It fell in parts, not hit the ground and broke up and blew up. It was falling apart as it was falling.
Yes, and I read that, maybe it's on Chris' story, something he implied. I knew that suspicion, that anomaly, I knew that. So it's not that the Minsk people blew up the plane, they are key witnesses of the facts.
Okay.
Right. So, so the Minsk people, they've got nothing. Minsk is not a powerful place of oligarchy or something. Is that what you're saying?
The dump.
Okay,
dump,
now,
dump,
oh yeah, there's the dump thing, but, okay, hold on. The it should have landed in Minsk.
Could have landed in Minsk.
Oh, see, it's not at Minsk that the people saw the plane falling apart. It's at Smolensk.
Smolensk.
Yeah, wherever it landed. It's not Minsk.
Well, it didn't land. It didn't get there either, but they're
okay.
Close.
It did not happen.
Smolensk. They're very close to each other.
Why did you say people at Minsk saw the plane break up? They did not see it. It didn't crash near there.
It most certainly didn't. Okay.
No, I don't. It's saying they should have landed at Minsk.
Bob, what I'm trying...
No, go ahead.
They knew it was going to before it did at Minsk.
Okay. And so then they went to where it would happen, which I assume was not...
No.
Okay,
no.
I mean,
we're trying to give the reference. You're trying to get to the bottom of what Chris Story was not saying, and we're trying to tell you, and we aren't having much luck either. The point is that this thing that happened, that they exited stage right, so all the people on the plane, the folks in Minsk, had a super real good idea that this was going to be the outcome. It's why they were shooed away from Minsk to try to land at Smolensk.
And did it, when it finally crashed, the ground it hit, since I have not done any research, it's probably my fault, I mean, I'm not informed, did it crash near Smolensk?
Yes.
Okay. And that's why...
2.5 miles from that airport in the wilderness, but then all of Poland is wilderness, so...
How many miles is Minsk from Smolensk? Where
five.
Oh, okay. It's all in the same area. Gotcha.
Well, now we're talking about in airspace. You know, if you're driving, of course, it may be an hour away. But you know,
okay,
bird
gotcha.
Flies,
so that's why they say, why didn't they land in Minsk? Well, now you can.
They hadn't many choices.
Yeah, and Minsk said, no way, you can't land here because we know what's going to happen to you.
Well, not exactly, but yeah.
Yeah, they didn't say it that way, but they knew.
Good, there you go. Now, see, if you infer, then yes, that makes sense. But if you make that be the reason for, then you'd have to indict all of Minsk as participating in the undoing of the oligarchy.
Right. Now, but these Polish guys, they're the oligarchy of nuclear dumping?
because they dump nuclear fuels there, then that gives the servants who receive the fuels, the dump, a bit of power, like butlers have.
Well, yeah, a little better than that, but yeah.
But the point is they had in the secret world some level of influence. So did any parallel world operations trigger this crash? You know, that's what I've learned.
Parallel world what?
Look, there were parallel world operatives involved with the 911. So I now know, rely on the past year, that look at historical events, Henry dates and that, there's likely, in the formation of those empires, parallel world interaction. Correct? That's what I've learned.
And the answer to that, in this particular situation, it's a little bit of a stretch, but not a complete stretch. What's interesting is that this all got orchestrated at this perfect set of expansive timings.
Right, the Greek, the Euro problem, all these issues always
The Georgia issue with North China and South Russia.
Does it go back to Fort Hood?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the ongoing secret war, so to speak.
Okay, yeah.
Secret battle, skirmishes.
Okay, yeah, skirmishes. That's fine. Because, you know, you don't say war.
That's too big. There's only, you could say metaphorically, there's only 25 people involved in this war, and they skirmish each other. Snipe each other.
Queen to queen, level 3.
Yeah, now that's in chess. When you say that, does that involve Queen Elizabeth and Balmoral when you say
no,
that?
No, it does not.
Right. So what? It's a chess move, so could you...
It's a strategy.
All right. What is the strategy? Can you explain it?
Yeah, you sacrifice your queen to win the game.
Oh, yeah, that was in... What the heck was that in? We just saw that on TV. Is that French? Who the heck? Queen sacrifice. That was...
Oh, come on, Bob. It was Flash Forward.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking. I saw the... I'm trying to see who, I guess... Oh, yeah, Mark Benford, right. He was explaining it to... Was he explaining it to Lloyd?
He was trying... They went, and he was seeing the chess moves, figuring out, and the fella who contacted him...
Oh, the Gibbon.
He was supposed to have the explanation of how they got it on the videotape. The person on the videotape to meet with him, and they found his guts strode all over the great big imitation chess field.
Right, what was that? Oh, yeah, the guy who played, right, that, queen to queen, okay. So
but
all
the
time...
can't talk about it till a month later, because you don't get time to watch it, so...
What did you say, we can't talk? I didn't get that.
We couldn't talk about it till a month after it aired, because you don't have time to watch it, so...
No, it aired a few days ago, and I saw it a few days later.
A few days ago, it was a month ago, it was a year ago, it was next November, there you go.
Okay, yeah, well, don't get fooled by you, Talk Book Dog, because you're confident in Dog. You had me there for a second, I forgot. Yeah. No, Bob, it was 2 months ago. Yeah, you're right. In your terms, it was. But it hasn't even happened yet, so to speak.
Right, next November.
Yeah. Okay, so the queen-to-queen level, you sacrifice your queen...
To win the game.
To win the game, and that, you... JW has used that phrase for years. You use it. That is what's happening here a lot?
Pretty much.
Okay. But queen-to-queen level 3... A chess phrase, it's used in chess. It does mean sacrificing the queen? I didn't know that. Like, Mark Benford didn't say queen to queen level 3.
Well, he's not that enlightened either, is he?
Right, but it is a technical term to refer to the sacrificing the queen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Queen Elizabeth got sacrificed, according to Chris' story, you know, a year or two ago when they stole her gold, but that's not true, right? She ain't worried, right. Okay, so...
Wonder if she's coming to this Derby Day.
You asked, when is she coming?
No, we said, wonder if she's coming to this Derby Day.
Does this Derby Day refer to us?
Yes, the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, okay. that's, what is this? This is April. So that's the first week of May. Pissed. That's the first week of May.
The last time she was pissed, she came to the Derby.
So you're wondering if it'll be interesting to see if she shows up.
And she won't.
Right. So that means she's
but
not...
there's now no problem.
Right. Okay, so...
Yeah, we're moving on up, moving on up to right. the east side.
Okay.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky. Yeah, we're moving on up, moving on up to the east side. We finally got our piece of the pie.
Okay, so that...
Does that clean it up for you, Bobby?
Yeah, I think that leads to the predicted April 15th date.
Well, let's see. Not from not is not. And 8 and 8, 16, minus 1, because of the day it was, is I don't know. That's big math for a little non-physical. I suggest you just check your charts.
Okay. So we know Carolyn is Olivia, but our client is a subset aspect of Carolyn as Olivia in this particular case. Or maybe Carolyn isn't Olivia. Okay. So...
it's all good.
Yeah, so it's good. So is there... is there, are there more questions about this incident that Ion might be interested in me pursuing that relate to what we know, not on our client's level? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I have to come up with some questions.
That would be good.
Is Alan Greenspan involved in this?
No.
Okay. Is Henry Paulson involved in this Polish thing?
Chris Story said they killed him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, but Chris is wrong. Chris is wrong on that point. Okay.
See, you can't get the questions that you want the answers to by using the post-informational oligarchy that's been laid out as is, because, Bob, that's the change, is the constant.
Is
the change.
What is the change? What was the last...
The constant is the change.
Yeah, no, I get that. So the point is that forget about the American nomenclature. They have been removed long ago.
Pretty much.
Right. So we can see who the players are over there in Beijing and in Asia, which is the new, quote, oligarchy.
Which is quiet as a church mouse.
Right. And so North Korea is their front door, Lee Harvey Oswald, or
okay.
Lee... Guido or something, you know, if you think of the Godfather, the third, the patsy, the idiot.
Corleone is appropriate.
Is that in France?
Godfather, Bob, if you're going to quote Godfather.
Corleone, I forget.
Corleone.
Oh, Corleone. Yeah, the third guy, I can't remember, the weak brother.
Okay.
He was just always losing. And,
the weak brother.
But I wouldn't say Korea is exactly like that.
Well, then you please yourself. It'll be all right.
Yeah, maybe they... Okay, so... you see, partly... I don't see... the way we're going along here, we're having such a great time. Why worry about these problems that China has, or Korea,
They don't have a problem.
All right, so... What is the meaning? Why did the... Who is the banker that the Lee Harvey Oswald guy, who actually was on the plane and died, who is the banker that didn't die and was pulling the strings in Poland?
Vladimir Krajowski.
All right, so there's the name. Does he interface with North Korea?
Not on the books, no.
Okay. Does he interface with the nuclear the nuclear dumping? You said yes. Okay, so was the Polish government that died saying we're not going to take the dump anymore?
Oh, hell no, Bob. You're inferring that the dump is bad. The dump is good.
Oh, okay. So did they misuse?
Maybe we wouldn't call it a dump. Maybe we would call it a super sophisticated storage and a place where things are reorganized and shipped as a large mass shipping depot.
Right. It's like an updated Fort Knox, a more modern Fort Knox.
Yeah.
With modern technology.
Hell, nobody wants uranium anymore.
Right. So is this in Warsaw, this dump?
No.
But because it's there in Poland, it gives the Polish government a little involvement because they know and they have...
You think, yeah.
Right. So why, what did the Polish government do or say where it was justified to say, well, you guys aren't working with us anymore, you're gone?
Well, they got to fucking with Chechnya.
Ah. What goes on in Chechnya? I mean, that's terrorist Afghanistan. There's something else going. Does that get involved with pipelines?
Not exactly, no.
No. So what is the role? See, what you're implying is that when you have these violent areas, they look like ghettos on the planet. Where
let's just turn it back around and get it straightened up. So you don't go 45 minutes in this tomfoolery. Getting asked about the portals in Poland.
Right. So
things can come and go, and...
What can come and go?
Things.
Right, so that's how they get rid of the nuclear radiation problem.
Because other people can use them. They know what to do with them.
Right, in the other world, so...
And rods aren't spent. If they were spent, then it wouldn't be a problem.
They're functioning rods, and they aren't going to be used here, so we give them to people who can do something with them.
Well, and yes, and we have to be very careful how we lay this out, because you can't uncreate anything.
Yeah.
And spent nuclear rods are one of those, but that's not the point. The point then becomes, where are they? And it gets down to Bush's anomaly of weapons of mass destruction. Where did they go?
Right. So I wondered if there was a parallel world operation, but there is. This is what it. You didn't. You said no, or you said slightly, but now you're telling me the particulars of how that was involved.
Can be, yes.
So, so that can be for certain people concerned about where nuclear things are going. That's a problem when they disappear, because the bad guys, it could mean, are getting it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
They can get rid of them off the planet. They can let them in the planet.
Right. And
all this conversation is about the nuclear proliferation treaties that are in your looky box lately.
Right. So the...
You said right, and that's the biggest thing that's been said all day.
No, no, that's good. I get it. And
cool.
And people who get into meditation, they're starting to think there's a non-physical. They're on the ascension process. They're a little more open-minded to these ideas. Would you agree?
Well,
I mean, meditation. I know Ion doesn't think much of meditation, but...
We don't think a thing about meditation. It just lets your mind ramp it to tear up things that don't need to be torn up.
Yeah, but to do that in our culture, to meditate, at least 20 years ago, maybe not now, but to do it, you're a bit different from your normal...
Well, you're open to mediation.
Yeah, you're open to new ideas, things to be...
What new comes out of meditation?
No, you're just... the fact you do it shows you're a little loosening up your cultural conditioning.
Okay.
You know, the average American bear is not interested in meditation. If an American is, then they're looking around and they're opening up a bit, it seems to me.
Well,
they're not ready for Dobbstown.
But their meditation is what they use to close off or to quiet their mind.
That's true. There's that.
Well, then you know it's kind of like I want to learn how to fuck, but I don't want to engage my vagina. Well, good luck with that.
Okay, so we can't even give our client kudos for... Anyways...
No, not a chance. That's less than...
Yeah.
Now, they engaged it and found out how just silly it is, and then go, okay, enough of that, now let's get to the good part. Okay, if you're going to use it that way, hip hip hooray, Bob got it again. But okay. If you're going out of this, you know, that would be like saying, I used the beating of myself over the head with a frying pan so that I could then come to an enlightened state of relief when I stopped.
Good, okay, good. So the point, yeah, back in the 60s, it was, to me, a sign of
Lord,
someone being
thrill.
Yeah, thrill world. But now not so much, and okay.
So you brought in a whole new factor. I mean, I got the gist of the perfect storm where the concerns about nuclear terrorism or nuclear war starts involving parallel worlds, which is sort of what Fringe is pointing at, then that's a whole new dynamic. And that's the main... So there was a problem, a skirmish in Poland about the administration of the moving of the nuclear rods between worlds, and the government got wiped out in the middle of it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they had to be Lee Harvey Oswald or just taken out, and so now they have to come up with a new administration.
Yeah, because all the ones that would replace that administration are gone. All the keys that they would hook to are now gone.
Yeah, all the ones who knew what the situation, like the president of Lech, whatever his name is, he knew about the parallel world reality? Not
certainly.
So much. What'd you say?
Certainly.
Okay, it's amazing how, it's good that Iron shows up to help us average bears find out about what's actually going on in politics so people can update their image of what's happening. The population needed updating.
Mm-hmm.
At least.
All right, speaking of your beach time, are you ready to go now?
Okay, no, I mean, I've got. We can continue. I'm going to go this afternoon, but what was the factor? I thought I had to do a radio, I thought I was going to do a radio thing. I didn't have to do that, so I can go to the beach. And we're doing the reading early, so because JW has to go to bed. So it's now 8:30. I just want to look at this nuclear swapping thing. This is a serious issue when moving. How long is this swapping of nuclear rods and these living?
17 years.
17 years is when it
from tomorrow.
Right, and so that would be 1993. So the parallel worlders and the operations in that had to involve the governments of the world a little more. Or the governments
No, they
of,
didn't.
Well, the governments of the world found out about it, I guess.
Right.
Who found out about it? Which government, which person that would be interesting as part of the story, the narrative? You know,
Lots.
Beg your pardon?
Lots.
How did they find out? What triggered
they
it?
They found out there was this non-physical... And then they found out there was these anomalies. Then they couldn't explain the anomalies so much so that they had to start drawing conclusions. Well, the conclusions that they were drawing was so far out and off that it opened up this incredulous place of inexplicable conclusions.
Right, so... It's just like how Agent Broyles in Fringe is finding out this stuff. It's
exactly.
Yeah.
Which, well, not Broyles. Now, Broyles knows.
Don't tell me much. I don't want to hear, but I suspect... I don't want to say anything, because I don't like to know, but I suspect he knows more, but let's not go into that. Anyways,
well, look at his conversation.
I know, with Nina.
When they're rounding up the children.
I know, I understand that. I got that. It's pretty clear now that he knows more than was let on in the earlier season. But the point is, that's an example of someone finding out about it, you know.
Yes, and then they have to be controlled, or they have to go.
Right. So, which governments, the 418...
Some in all.
Beg your pardon?
Some in all of the governments.
Right. So, the 418 group represents, and Saint-Germain, people who knew it a long time ago. You know what I mean? Yeah, but you're talking about the people who did not have access to the 418 group level or Saint Germain level finding out about it. Do you know what I mean? The average bear finding out about it.
Well, okay.
The average bear in those levels of security or whatever they...
Well, but you see, now even everybody's getting it. Hell, it's on the radio now, Bob.
No, I got that. But I mean, back in 93, the 418 group... It is not a product of the 70s.
But you blamed it all on Rye and this little digging, dogging of dogma and this little awareness and blah, blah, blah. You just call it's the same story, you just called it different things. So now you've figured out what it really is and you're like, now what do we do? Kind of thing.
Right, but when we talk about the 418 group, are they a product of the knowledge of the last 17 years, or were they around and knew this stuff before 17 years ago?
Way before 17
right.
years ago.
See, so they're insiders, okay? That's the point.
That's fair.
Yeah. Whereas the ones who found out over the last 17 years are not the, at least they start off as not part of the insiders. They're your local Mannixes and Columbos that find out things.
And Beretta and Kojak.
Yes. Okay, so... So, so I appreciate Ion coming and catching Carol and Bob up on this, even though we've been doing
it. Oh, it's the least we could do.
Yeah, we got caught up on it, but it turns out we were doing it, involved, and just couldn't remember.
Causing it.
Causing it, that's interesting.